Well, good morning and welcome to the bridge. Good morning, whoever said that. All right. Well, I want to welcome you all here today. And as you can tell, we're going to do things a little different this morning, which almost has become our norm. But let me tell you that you are here today. If you're visiting, you are here as we are coming to a close in our series that I've entitled The Meaning of Life. The Meaning of Life. And to kick things off, I thought it would be great if we could make a cake together. You know, I'd thought about it. I had come to a place of contemplation. And all things considered, I thought it would be great to go ahead and... Do we need the light? Joey, can you point the light down for me? And anyway, what I thought we would do this morning is we would start by baking a cake together. I thought about it. I actually separated myself from our money, made a commitment, changed our money for these supplies, did what was necessary to get the ingredients. You can't see it, but I actually have three eggs here as well. Easy, fellas. And so I know this part to be true. You got to put that inside. Let me take a second here to read the instructions. It says that I need to preheat the oven to 350. Ah, and on the next day, light came. So we need to go preheat the oven to 350. And tells me here I've got these ingredients. I now need to put the egg in. Three eggs. I've got some water here. Some vanilla. And one more egg. All right. What I didn't think about was something to wipe my hands with. Forgive me, Kim. All right. All right. Little water. Now, the directions say that I should have had oil here, so pretend there's oil in there as well. I really just didn't want to bring it on the road because it really gets messy. A little bit of vanilla. All right, so I've made the decision that I wanted to make a cake this morning. I contemplated it. I made the decision I wanted to do it. I went out and I got what I needed. I did what was necessary to get the ingredients into my life. I've taken the time now to read the instructions. I've learned a little bit. I've grown here. Now I've got to do some of the legwork. And I'm really hoping this doesn't get too messy. But the reality is, now I've got to mix this all up. All key essential steps in making my cake. Would you agree? Anybody know of another way to do this where you don't have to do these steps? Anybody know how to just say presto and come up with a cake? Yeah, I know. If these were electric beaters when I were a kid, my cousins and I would fight each other to see who could get them. But, all right. You probably can't see it too well, but I've got this worked up into just the right consistency for a cake batter. What I've got now is a beautiful cake, and I want to share my cake with you. Anybody want some of my cake? With the raw eggs inside? It's not a cake yet, because I'm not done. I've got all the ingredients. You watch Survivor Man on Discovery Channel, one of my favorite TV programs. I'm sure I could live on this for like a month. You know, I have the substance that could feed me, but I don't have a cake. This is not a cake because it's not done yet. Well, I want to show you in the context of your spiritual life that there are steps in this series that we've entitled The Meaning of Life. I've told you that whoever you are, wherever you come from, all of us share this universal meaning of life and that there are five simple steps to get there. The first, we use the image of a mask. And I told you that you've got to come to a place of contemplation. That mask, we say, represents the invisible. And you've got to come to a place of contemplation where you say there is only one of two ways to go. Eternity is real. I will either spend it with the Lord or separated from Him in a very real hell. Just like my cake process here, I had to start by coming to a place of contemplation. I'm either going to make a cake this morning or I'm not. I've decided I'm going to make a cake. The second step, which we call birth in the life cycle, or what we call the life curve. And I said to you, this is a place where you not only acknowledge the reality of a fork in the road, but that you choose. You take the steps necessary. You make the change. I separated myself from a handful of dollars, and I did what was necessary to get into my life those things needed to make a cake. At the birth stage is where we come to Christ and we say, I believe and I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I make an exchange. The old me has died, and in place I now have a born again soul. I am now a child of God. At the third step, we call it growth, and said this is where basically you get it. It starts to come alive. You're not just a spiritual infant, but you begin to grow. Things start to make sense. Kind of like when I started to read the directions on how to make a cake. Or when we begin to read and acknowledge and accept God's Word as living truth. And when we begin to understand that to grow, we need to really understand His Word and begin to absorb it as part of who we are. The next step was to serve. We call that step wisdom. This is when you begin to understand that it's not all about you, and church and life is not about what you can get as much as it is about what you can give. And to live a life of pouring yourself out. It's when you begin to start doing the work and begin to make the investment of yourself. Kind of like when I start putting all the ingredients together. Somebody's got to do the work of mixing. Somebody's got to do the work of getting this all pulled together. That's the wisdom stage. Now, in terms of church, follow me, Joey, I'm heading up. In terms of church and your spiritual life, it's very different to just come up to this place of wisdom and say, okay, I get it. I come to the place of contemplation. I acknowledge that there is a reality called eternity and I've got to make a choice. I'm telling you now that I've made the choice to follow Jesus. I've done the learning and I've begun to grow and I'm pressing in. And I'm even now beginning the process of serving. Well, on our life curve, that takes you four steps along the way. And we applaud. Last week, if you were here, you saw I had a bunch of ladders up here. And we talked about at the third step, you've got to choose whether or not you're going to follow the world chasing trophies and going vertical, or if you'll follow Jesus and begin to serve and pour out. Well, now we're at this place that looks very much like this stage, where you've got to decide, what are you going to do? And I've got some things to share with you this morning that are a little difficult to hear, and at the same time, they carry with them the most rich blessing in all of eternity. And that's this. We've got to decide what we're going to do at this fourth step. As I told you last week, you don't have to go through these steps. At any time, you can stop. It's your prerogative, but it's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose for your life. That anybody that would say, hey, I'm just going to sit here and contemplate and not even make a decision for Jesus, is in a very real and very dark place. Somebody that says, I'll accept Christ, but I don't want to go any further than that. It's a thwarted, stunted growth. God does not intend for us to run orphanages and have nothing but spiritual babies running around. Or maybe you're somebody that says, well, I'm getting up in that growth place, but I don't really want to go any further. I used language as harsh as spiritual punk last week and said, you know, that adolescent that says, I don't want to, and nobody's going to make me. You're right. Nobody will make you. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to blossom and to grow. And now this morning, I'm going to share with you the toughest reality, perhaps of all. That there are some that could go all the way to this wisdom step and then stand and look and say, oh my, that's a long way down. I don't know that I want to go all in. And I'm here to tell you, as God's representative from His Word, His plan is for you to go all in. That to stay up on the edge and just say, well, you know, I've got the ingredients, I've read the instructions, you know, I've whipped more cake batters than anybody you know. Okay, but have you made a cake? Have you gone all the way through and made a cake? If the objective is to make a cake, a room full of batter doesn't get the job done. Now, there are times we don't want to go all the way, because you know what it takes to turn that into what it's meant to be? Some time in the oven. Sometimes we've got to spend some time in an oven if we're going to truly become all that we were called and created to be. Not always. Some of you, praise the Lord, know what it is to become all that God has called you to be and not have to go through a difficult time. That's rare. And so I want you to understand that if that's you, know how blessed you are. And if you're the other, if you're in the furnace, if you're in the oven, recognize that this may just be exactly what needs to happen to turn you from batter into a cake. And the fact that the oven is hot need not and ought not drive us away. Because all of God's promises and all of God's glory are best seen when we are closest to Him. And yes, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God and you are His. But it's when you choose to follow Him, no matter what, and pour yourself out, all the way out, that you get closest to Him. That is His plan. That has been the plan from day one. So here is now we approach the last step in our life curve and coming to a close in our series. I tell you that this life curve starts with the invisible, goes through a place of birth, adolescent-like growth, and then to a place of wisdom. But the ultimate place is Christ-likeness. You see, Jesus, when He gave us His instructions that we often call in the church the Great Commission, He said, go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say go make converts. Just make the world filled with babies spiritually. He said, no, go share the good news. Yes, it will start with a process of birth, but don't leave them there. Help the people to grow into Christ-likeness. Now, what happens here, and this is true, I don't care who you are, and if you say this isn't so, then I'm going to ask you to check your gut and your heart. Each one of us comes to a place, oftentimes many places along our journey, where we've got to have a personal come to Jesus time. When the question is, who's this all about, you or me? Where God wants to know your heart, and He wants to know, what's going on here? Are you just in this to make a bunch of batter? Or are you interested in becoming the cake that I have called you and created you to be? You see, if it's about the cake, you have to strip away those things that we tend to hang on to. You know, the issues of self, the me, the mine, the no way, I'm not going that far. There's a very, very popular and famous encounter in the Bible where Jesus deals with this issue. It's known in the church world as the encounter with the rich young ruler. Jesus basically met with a fellow that had it all. And this guy comes to Him and he says, hey, Jesus, I want to know, what does it take to go to heaven? Jesus, knowing everything, especially what was in the man's heart, in a nutshell says, well, you know, the commandments, right? Well, this man was asking about the doing. Hey, Lord, which religious path will lead to eternal life? He wanted to focus on the doing and not the being. He wanted to focus on making batter and not making a cake. And Jesus said to him, well, you know the commandments, right? And he lists the first five commandments that have to do with the doing of life. And this young man says, all of my life I have held to those things. Jesus said, well, there's still one thing you haven't done. He instructs him to sell all that he has, give it to the poor. That's not the one thing. Okay, that's more doing. The one thing Jesus referenced, he said, in a closing component to what he shared with the young man, that follow me. Follow me. Now, we have to be careful when we read our Bible to understand the language and the way things are written and what they mean. Sometimes things are said symbolically. Sometimes they're said to be literal. This is both. There is a literal component of following Jesus that he's referencing. But there's also a much deeper component here. And what Jesus was speaking to was not whether or not he would separate himself from his possessions, but whether or not he would give his whole heart to Jesus. Follow me with all of your being. I'm going to show you a video that puts this into context of real life in our world. It's called The Rich Young Ruler, but this is what it might look like in our day. You see, each and every one of us, if we're honest, we have things that we don't like letting go of. We have things that we don't want anybody to take away, let alone lay down ourselves. Jesus is saying to the rich young ruler, I want all of you because I have given all of myself for you. And this purpose that I have created you for, it goes beyond batter. If all you do is the stuff, but choose not to go all in and truly, truly give me your heart, then I'm afraid you're selling yourself short. Here's the tough part that I was telling you about. I believe if you understand what God's Word says, then you'll know this to be true. And if you've not heard this or not thought about this, I want you to think about it now because this is critically important. The world is filled with people who think they are there with Jesus, and they are not. Churches are filled with people who say that they are biblical Christians, and they are not. Because it is not what we say, it is who we are. I want to read you two verses this morning that are devastating to that reality. The first is Luke 14:27. And God's Word says this, anyone who does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Whoa. How important is it that we follow all the way through to be a disciple? Jesus said that we must take this fifth step in our journey, that we must pursue true Christ-likeness all the way to the point of picking up and carrying our own symbolic cross and following Him. And what does following Him mean? It means pouring ourselves back out as he did. It means going all the way to making the cake and not just falling or stopping short with the activities and the intentions of being a disciple, of making a cake. Jesus said, anyone who does not pick up their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now he says, well, that sounds pretty harsh, Jeff. Let me read to you the context of John chapter 6, verse 66. In verse 60, it says this, on hearing it, and what the it is Jesus has just explained after feeding multitudes of people and doing the miraculous work with just a little bit of bread. He describes himself as the bread of life and says, you cannot have eternal life outside of me. And he explains what we now know as the Lord's Supper and talks about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. Now some whose eyes and hearts were not opened heard cannibalistic language. Oh my goodness. Jesus said, those of you who understand, whose heart my Father has touched and opened, will know what this means. It means that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. This is what God's Word says in chapter 6 of John, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So you have Jesus saying this, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me to be my disciple. And we hear in the book of John that as Jesus ratcheted things up in terms of what it meant to be a disciple, there were many who fell away. Now here's the key to watch, and this is the part that gets so tough. And again, I'm not going to win any popularity contests here with this one, but this is the truth. The Bible says many of his disciples left him. That means that there were many who were following him. There were many in the kitchen that were in the process of whipping up batter, who when they heard what it took to ultimately make the cake, left the building. Think about that. This is why it's so important that you're in a place that preaches God's truth. Because it is so easy to become satisfied, content, lukewarm, and find out later when it's too late that you didn't have God's truth. You weren't in a personal relationship. And that's why it's so, so important that you understand the beginning process of coming to the reality that there is an eternity and there are only two roads, and that we must personally accept Jesus as Lord and Savior if there's going to be any spiritual birth. And then to realize the Bible says there are wolves that are abound that come to deceive and attack. We've got to know that we've got to grow in our relationship with God and an understanding of His truth. And doing that is to serve and to pour ourselves out. But that there will come a time when each of us are going to have to make a decision on whether or not we're going to go all in, or if we're going to hedge our bets and say, that's a little too much. I'd rather stay here where I'm comfortable. And all I'm saying to you here is, in looking at John 6:66, if you believe that the cost is too much to follow him completely, I would encourage you to check your heart. I would encourage you to ask yourself the hard questions. Because what Jesus asks of all of us, if you understand who you are in him, it ought not be difficult to go all in. Let me show you a video that puts this in the context of real life today. Take a look at this.
platform is running late. No, I'll explain it when I get there.
Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's down there right now talking about how it's easier for a camel to get through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. We don't know what he's talking about. Do you mind just going back down there and explaining whatever you guys are talking about, huh?
I'm not interested.
No, I am. I'm just telling you.
Peter, hey, that's enough.
How'd you know my name?
Everybody knows Peter. Everybody knows the disciple that walked on water.
I did. I walked on water. It was the most amazing thing.
And how you fell in the water.
Concentrate on the first part of the story. That's the best part. I walked on water. It was amazing. I walked on water.
Anyway, listen. I'm not interested. Thank you.
What do you mean you're not interested? You were there. You asked him, what should you do to inherit eternal life? And then you, like, turned away. None of us got it. I mean, most people, like, accept what he has to say.
I came to help him.
What?
I wanted to come help this guy. I believed in everything that he stood for. I thought I'd get on his team and help him out. I'd go and talk to him. He asked me, am I doing all these things? I'm doing everything that he asked. And then he says, I'm not good enough. I gotta go do something else. Give up everything to follow him? No. No, that's not gonna happen.
No, but you don't understand. I mean, it is so worth it. I mean, I don't know what he's told you to give up, but all of us have given up something. I mean, you could talk to any one of us. We've all given up something.
You've given up what? You've given up what? What'd you do before you followed him?
I was a fisherman.
You were a fisherman.
So you gave up long hours, rough hands, smelling like a dumpster behind a Long John Silver's. That's what you gave up. Do you understand who I am? Do you understand what I have? Do you know how you get these kind of things?
Yeah, I understand that you look like you're in a real important person and everything, okay?
No, it's not about being important. I'm a good person. I'm a good man.
Right.
And I was going to help him.
Right. The road to hell is
paved with good intentions. Yeah, I know it. I know it all. And he decides that he's going to make the rules? No. I'm the one who decides the terms. I'm the one who makes those kind of decisions.
What's so valuable that you're holding on to? What is it? I mean, look, I don't know what he asked you, but I can tell you this. That's just Jesus. I mean, he looks into people's eyes, and he knows what they got to give up. Everybody holds on to something. Come on, just come back with me, okay? We can work it out. We can talk this out. If you don't have a chance, how do any of us have a chance? Bought into the lie. Bought into the lie.
Are there any lies you've bought into? Can you not see that in the context of our life today? One of the things I loved about that clip is you see who is perceived to be a have, and he talks down to the Peter character as one who is supposedly a have not. What did you give up? Smelling like a dumpster out behind an Arthur Treacher's. Pretty good line, right? Do you know what I have? Do you have any idea what I have? Question is, have you bought into the lie? You see, to understand two things. One, what Jesus did for you. And two, what Jesus offers you. Negates all of that stuff. And so I say to you, if you stand on the edge of going all in, and it looks like a sacrifice, you don't get it. I've had many people say to us as a family, oh, Jeff, wow, you guys had it all, and you've made this drastic change. And they see the gap from where we were to where we are socially and financially, and they say, wow. And I know what's being said, and it's a kind gesture. But I also know they don't understand. we haven't taken a step down. We have been rescued and lifted up. If you think to pour yourself out and to give God all that you have is somehow a sacrifice on your part, you don't understand the transaction. Now, this video depicted a guy who, quote unquote, had it all, just like the rich young ruler. Jesus doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. You think the creator of the universe needs our pittance? He doesn't need it. He's conditioning our hearts and saying, so long as you stay tight-fisted with that, and that, maybe it's your power and your prestige. The fact that you can't stand to be wrong. And so your pride always has to be right. Maybe your fist is clenched on your dollars. Maybe you don't tithe because you don't think that you can live on 90% of what God gave you. Maybe you think, well, all the church ever says they want your money. God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. Maybe it's the perception of your friends. I'd go all in, but you don't understand, man. My friends, they don't get it. They'd start, making fun of me, and, we wouldn't get to hang out. Well, maybe, and this was me, maybe you're a master negotiator. You go, hey, I'm relatively speaking, I'm all in. Oxymoron, right? Hey, I'm giving God all I can while maintaining a good balance. I tell you what, I think the word balance gets perverted more times in the church. Well, I'm maintaining a healthy balance. That's code for I'm doing it my way. One of the heroes of the faith in my life, one of the absolute giants, is a man who died way too early, about 50 years ago. His name is Jim Elliot. Some of you may know his story. But he was a young missionary to Ecuador. And he went down to a tribe, and he was martyred, his whole family. And one of the things that speaks loudest to me about his story, not only the commitment, the inspiration that he and his family were and then continued to be, sidebars, after this tribe murdered Jim, his wife went back and stayed living amongst the people, and later led his murderer to Christ, and to this day travels the world with the murderer of Jim Elliot, telling the testimony of what happens when one life is poured out for another. Jim Elliot had a quote that is one of my favorites, and I think it encapsulates this truth in such a powerful way. I'm going to say it 2 or 3 times. I might sit here and say it 10 times because I want you to carry this with you in your heart for the rest of your lives. And so I'm asking you right now, I don't ask you to memorize much. I'm going to ask you to do your best to memorize this quote because it will guide you and it will help you alongside God's word for the rest of your life. Jim Elliot, when asked to address this question of going all in and giving Jesus everything, not negotiating or holding back or working a balance, Jim Elliot said this: he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You will not be a fool if you give away what you can't keep anyway to gain what, as a child of God, you can never lose. Think about that. All of us come to this place of going all in, and the surroundings look different. God doesn't want you to necessarily be a missionary or a vocational minister. That's not what it's about. It's about from the heart saying, all that I am, all that God has created me to be, comes through the filter of my relationship with Him and my priority to be Christ-like, to be a Christ-like middle schooler, to be a Christ-like parent, to be a Christ-like professional, whomever you are. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In our life curve in this graphic that you see, it's designed to give you something that you can live with and carry with you and remember easily. These are the five simple steps to fulfilling the meaning of life. We all start in the darkness, in the abyss of lostness. If we choose Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will be born spiritually, and life begins. If we will grow in our faith and press into God's Word and His principles and His truths, and rub shoulders life on life with His people, we will grow. If we choose to break ranks with the world's trophies and go horizontal and follow Jesus and begin to serve, we'll get comfortable in the kitchen. The key is to get comfortable in the kitchen and to be right on with putting the batter in the oven. And we'll take that step to Christ-likeness and say, okay, Jesus, there isn't anything in my life worth holding on to if it's going to be insulation between you and me. The answer is yes. Now just tell me the question. I'm all in. I'll close with one last quote. It's from the Old Testament. And I've intentionally chosen a quote from a woman. Because, ladies, I want you to know that if God has called you to lead, then lead. If God has called you to be a dynamic witness in your community, then be who God has called you to be. In the story of Israel, some of you would know, and you'd read the Old Testament, what you find is God blesses His people. Everything's great. They get fat, dumb, and happy. They want to do it their way. They begin to sin. God's wrath comes upon them. They're pummeled. They get to a place where they're truly sorry. They repent. They cry out to God, forgive us. God forgives them. His blessing comes. Up they go. There's this ebb and flow throughout the Old Testament. It's based on the heart of the people. And there was a time at which they were down and out and things were low. And it looked like Israel as a people were on the brink of getting wiped out. There's a woman named Esther, a little Jewish girl, ends up being the queen. And she's told that you cannot come in the presence of the king without being beckoned. The consequence for doing that is death. Her uncle comes to her and says, God has chosen you. You are the one to do His work here. You need to go to the king and you need to make him aware of these things and so forth. And Esther says, do you understand what the consequences are if I do what you ask me to do? Malachi, her uncle, said, God has called you to this. This is your place. This is your time. If you don't do it, there'll probably be a curse on your family and he'll get somebody else to do it. But it's your job. He's called you to this. And Esther says, after praying and really getting with the Lord and realizing that this is what He has for her, as she looked over the cliff of her life and said, safety, security, the life of a queen, or God's way, oh my. Esther went back to Malachi, said, I will do what God has called me to do. And here is her quote. And if I perish, I perish. That's all in. When you realize that there is nothing in your life, including your life, that is worth more than your relationship with Jesus Christ, now you're cooking with gas. Now you got a cake. And God Himself will say, well done, great cake. Go get them. I pray that each and every one of us here will come to know what it is to live in that place. That you will hear God say one day, well done. Well done, faithful servant. There is no greater reward. None. My prayer is that as you look at this issue and say, okay, what you're talking about, Jeff, is really, that's a big step. It's my prayer that you will see that big step as an invitation into glory and not some form of sacrifice that is addressed begrudgingly, like, oh boy, I don't know. You know, geez, to really, you know, do it God's way, to be God, to tithe, I don't know how we'll... to take on a ministry instead of what I had planned, to actually share my faith with people, I don't know. You're being invited into the most wonderful blessing in all of life. Please, please, please don't see it as some form of a cost or some kind of labor or work. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins that you would be able to accept this gift. If you're an adult, you have probably said already a dozen times in December to a young person, it's better to give than to receive. We say these things all the time. It's true. It's true. Give of yourself in the name and in love with Jesus, and you will receive so much more than you will ever give. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I come now and I thank you so much that you have revealed your word and your truth and your love to us. Father, I just ask that each person here today will hear an invitation of love and not some kind of legalistic push towards religion. Lord, I know that you don't need anything from us. You invite us to give of ourselves because you love us enough to want us to have those things and gifts that come only from the giving of ourselves. Lord, open up the eyes of our heart that we would see that as we draw closer to you and empty ourselves out, you will fill us with so much more than we could ever have clung on to. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word and being with a people that will listen. And I can't wait to see what we will be like as we become lesser as individuals and we become more in and through you. These are my prayers on behalf of this people, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. I thank you for coming. Bless you all. Go be cakes in the name of Jesus.